Many voters in the United States, especially Democrats, have been excited about the possibility that America's first black or woman president could be elected this year. But such an event would be no more precedent-shattering than what happened in Paraguay's presidential election on Sunday. Voters there elected a man named Fernando Lugo. It marked the first time in more than 60 years that the Colorado Party has not ruled Paraguay. Politically, Lugo comes from the left. But U.S. Ambassador to Paraguay James Kaysen says that Lugo has told American officials that he looks forward to working with him.
He's indicated to us, we've had contact with him for a long time, he's indicated he wants good relations with the United States. We've offered assistance in meeting key players in the United States for his new cabinet and members of his team. This is not a should not be seen as a victory for the left. His was a coalition party. The left only got 0.25% of the votes for president. And so I think this is not a foreign policy election. It's very much a domestic-focused election.
For those Americans who haven't been following the movement among various countries in South America, I mean, they may hear about Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Argentina. For Paraguay, is there something that separates the U.S. relationship with Paraguay from relationships with its neighbors?
The United States has traditionally been seen by Paraguayans as a consistent, steadfast friend, and it's a country that's been described at times as an island surrounded by land. It's gone through a tragic history, years and years of dictatorship. And this is the first time in 197 years that a political party will peacefully turn over power to another party. So it's a great day for Paraguayan democracy.
When you say Paraguay is an island surrounded by land, Paraguay is landlocked pretty much in the center of South America. Does Paraguay right now host American military bases?
Oh, no. This has been a rumor by the left for years, and everybody recognizes, serious people here, that that's ridiculous. Just one of those canards that surfaces from time to time.
The U.S. does, though, conduct military exercises from time to time in Paraguay.
We've been doing, over the years, almost for 60-some years, basically medical exercises, training, for example, peacekeeping. We've been helping them train and equip two peacekeeping battalions, which are now ready to go out with the Paraguayan flag and participate in exercises, because right now they're extremely small, very much undermanned, with almost no equipment whatsoever.
Ambassador, I'm curious if we can take you to what I believe was your last stint in Havana, Cuba. Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions about that?
Sure.
It was before Raul Castro took over. It was when Fidel Castro was still very much in power. Some of your movements were considered provocative, especially the lighting up in neon of the number 75 dissidents that had been held captive by the Cuban government. Things have changed now. You're watching it from your posting in Paraguay. What is it like for you to see how things are transpiring right now in Cuba?
Well, I think the key issue is whether this is a significant or a cosmetic change. I have yet to be convinced this is the real change that Cubans want. I think they want the ability to, first of all, they want political prisoners out. They want the ability to travel. They want the ability to own businesses and enjoy the Universal Declaration of Human Rights freedoms that everybody's supposed to have. So to my knowledge, although Raul seems to be calling the shots, Fidel is still there. And I personally think that we have to wait and see how serious they are about this. Right now, I still remain skeptical, and I still think that what we were trying to do was to point out to the international community, which at the time preferred to forget about the 75 political prisoners, they're still in jail.
I mean, also, Raul Castro is saying that he's going to boost agriculture, this in a place where people still have to use food rationing cards.
Well, I think that there's a whole range of things that need to be done on the economic and political side, free elections, the right of labor to organize. And so I would say, as an outsider now looking from Paraguay, I'm not holding my breath.
Is there something that you would see in Cuba that would be within the realm of possibility in the next, say, 3 or 4 years that would lead you to call for an end to U.S. sanctions against Cuba?
That's going to be a decision for the next U.S. Congress and president to make. I think they've got to start by freeing all political prisoners. Once I see that, then I think other discussions could take place.
Ambassador James Kaysen, thank you very much. Nice to speak with you.
Thanks a lot.
James Kaysen, ambassador now to Paraguay.